they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, God.
Right?
Welcome in. Willard and Dibs. No Willard today, it's Grandy, so Dibs and Grandy with you. That's one of the more embarrassing Giants games, Dibs, that I can remember watching in my 29 years.
The most embarrassing game of the year, and it's not just the fact that your starting pitcher didn't get an out and he gave up a five-piece, but it was left field defensive woes times a bunch, and, you know, center field and left field. It was the catcher, it was the bullpen, it was the hitting, it was everything. That game was absolutely awful. And, you know, you come out of the break and you're looking for a little bit of a bounce back. And Atlanta is, I mean, they're a team. They're not great. They're okay.
Probably the biggest underperformers of the year.
Right, but they are a threat.
They got talent.
They do have talent.
They've had a really weird year.
Yeah. Right, and you go in there and you can't even, like, muster the offense to pick up for your pitcher, your starting pitcher, who now has been optioned.
You scored five runs. Not like that's terrible.
Eventually, you scored five, but by the time you scored five, it was over. And the way that thing devolved early and often with the sloppy defense and the overthrow and Elliot Ramos in left, it had me thinking that you've got, like, four, maybe three DHs on the field at any time, and that's a problem.
Yeah, you want to play Ramos at DH? You want to play Devers at DH? You want to play Flores at DH?
Yep.
What Jung-Hoo Lee did yesterday, you're not going to play him at DH ever, but that was bad by him. Adames earlier in the year, you wanted to play him at DH because that's how rough he was defensively early. He's been much better of late. And those problems, Dibs, are only going to get exacerbated as the years go by. I know we're not focused at all on 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and just, you know, purely focused on what's happening right now in front of us. But you're right. I mean, this team was supposed to be a team that was, I don't know, its strong suit was, you know, obviously pitching, but also defense and playing smart baseball and, you know, at times maybe playing small ball and, you know, using the sack bunt and moving runners over and taking the extra 90 feet when they were given to you and taking advantage of all those small things and out executing your opponents. The Giants certainly haven't been as bad as they've been in those areas all year as they have been of late, but they haven't really been good at that all year long. And it's what the Giants told us they were planning to be this year. They have not been that, and especially not the last four games. They have been darn near the exact opposite of that.
And it's pitching and defense, and when you look at the pitching, and, you know, it's easy to go back to Logan Webb, where he had one bad inning, you lose. Robbie Ray, he was kind of in the middle of the zone the whole time, and he got beat up, and then
it happens with those two guys.
It does, yeah. But, I mean, even coming out of the break, you would hope that you'd be a little sharper, and, you know, then the Hayden Birdsong thing, whereas that was in real time. You and I are watching, and you're looking that way, and I'm looking that way, and after we'd watch something, we'd get back in the middle, and I know we're locked in right now. We're in the same shirt, and so we're kind of like, and I know you're embarrassed by it. I'm proud by it. And I think that you and I have been locked in for the better part of a week or a week and a half. Yeah. And, you know, watching that yesterday, it was the same experience of, oh, Hayden. I mean, I'm not giving up on him as a future pitcher, but, like, you need to go down for at least a month, maybe the whole rest of the year. And you need to go down, figure it out, and we're going to see you next year, because what we need right now, you can't do. Which is, we need you to get people out, and he's not.
How long is he going to be down there for? As long as it takes.
Right?
Whenever you figure it out, all right, then we'll consider it again. But you're walking five guys in four innings? Nope. You're staying down there. I mean, his line, Dibs, it's one of the most absurd lines in baseball history. For a starting pitcher, this happens sometimes maybe for a reliever, but for a starting pitcher, No innings pitched. Didn't get a single out.
Yep.
One hit allowed. Four walks. A hit batter. Five earned runs. He went walk, walk, walk. Bases loaded, double. Walk, hit by pitch, and then he's yanked. One ball put in play, and he gets pulled.
Shout out Michael Wacha, former Cardinal starter. He went Wacha, 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 Wacha. And Fozzie Bear, same thing. He went walk, walk, walk.
Double. And walk, then hit by pitch.
I mean,
that's it. Pulled. Yanked.
That's it.
And you could have made the case he should have been yanked before the hit by pitch. Or maybe right after the double.
Right. I mean, and the hit by pitch was just one of those, like, it wasn't really, like, wildly in the batter's box, but it was far enough inside where he just turned and it was a tiny little tick.
The target and definitely was not set up that far inside. We'll correct. Put it that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think he threw, what, 8 strikes in his
25 pitches, 19 balls, 6 strikes.
6 strikes. And so that is where you look at it and you go, okay, I mean, you've got good stuff. You've got, you know, enough of an arsenal to where you can be a major league pitcher. But right now, you are clearly lost. Like, you're beyond lost. Ugh. And so, you know, you have to go down. And the problem is, though, Justin Verlander, he's not lost. He's just washed. So right now, your rotation is Logan Webb, all-star, really good, bad start. Robbie Ray, all-star, really good, bad start. Verlander washed, Birdsong lost, and Landon Roop. Are you
today?
I mean, are you now our stopper? Is that where we're at?
He's got to be.
And so, who takes the ball in the next, you know, start where?
Boy, I'm curious to find that out because they do have an off day Thursday, so they could just skip the fifth rotation spot if they want to, right. And they could just have everyone go on normal rest. They optioned Tristan Beck and Birdsong down, and they brought up Carson Seymour, one of the three Carsons down there in AAA. Now, there's only two, Ragsdale and Wisenhunt still down there. So Seymour is back up, and then they also brought up Sean Jelly. I think a lot of people are just assuming that one of those guys is going to become the new fifth starter. I think those guys are up here, Dibs, because they just need arms that haven't thrown innings lately. The bullpen is so taxed right now, and it's crazy. We're only 4 games in from the All-Star break. They've had to cover so many innings in these first 4 games. You need those guys to throw innings for you now. So I would guess that we're either going to see something like an opener or the spot in the rotation skipped entirely, or we're going to see another move coming up by the time Birdsong's spot in the rotation comes back up. So we will see how it all plays out. I don't know if either Seymour or Jelly will be the starting pitcher every fifth day from here on out. In fact, I don't think that will happen, but only time will tell. But yeah, they got a major, major question there. And you don't have Kyle Harrison to turn to. Not that the trade was a bad one, but you don't have that option anymore. And it's kind of the reality of making that trade, Dibs. Again, you make it 100 times out of 100, but if anything goes wrong with any of your starting pitchers and things have gone wrong with two of them, you have one fewer option to turn to that has ever done anything at the MLB level.
That's right. And, I mean, you could look at Sean Jelly, who actually has started. He started this year, and he's not been terrific, but at least he could be a guy you could say, all right, Sean, you know, can you give us 4? Can we maybe get 5 out of you? But for me, it's less about that Birdsong spot, and it's more about the Verlander and the Birdsong. And, you know, Landon Roop has been great, but
been awesome.
Are we going to go ahead and pen him in Sharpie as this dude for the final 10 starts of the year?
You have to count on it, but I don't know how confident anybody is that you can expect him to have, what, a 3-4 ERA the rest of the year?
Right. So, I mean, you look at your options, and you could bring up Carson Wisenhunt, who's been phenomenal in AAA. He's been very good in AAA, and that would mean a 40-man roster spot move, and I don't know what move you would make that, you know, you'd want to make and get rid of a player who no longer will be a part of, you know, what you're doing. Maybe it's Encarnacion, a guy who now doesn't really fit. You don't need him at first. God forbid he plays first. You don't need him at DH, and you've got DHs up the wazoo.
Don't want him in the outfield either.
Right, so maybe another bad outfielder. Encarnacion, who, you know, you ultimately make that move of if you want to bring up, you know, somebody like Wisenhunt, or, you know, Mason Black has started. He hasn't been great. Sean Jelly. You've got options, but none of them are good options.
No,
is the problem.
They're not. And that's just to fill the hole of one starting pitcher issue, but you might have another if this Verlander thing continues to spiral downward. We shall see. So 888-957-9570. How do you describe the baseball game that you watched last night? Because for Dibs and I, it was flat out embarrassing. We can go through all of the things that were humiliating, that were frustrating, that were embarrassing for the Giants. And I mean, just who is this team? Because what the last week has been, they seem entirely opposite the team that they want to be. So who are the Giants? 888-957-9570. Plus, training camp opened today. First practice is tomorrow, but a number of important Niners, including Shanahan and Lynch, spoke. We will hear their full presser at the beginning of training camp coming up in a little less than 2 hours, around 4:15, right here on Willard and Dibs. Also, want to win a pair of tickets to this Saturday's Giants-Mets game? It's Steph Curry bobblehead giveaway night, and we have a pair of tickets to give away today, courtesy of Panini. All you need to know for now is be sure you're listening at 4:30, and we'll tell you exactly how you can win. And we're sponsored by Saramonte Ford. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game.
Back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
No, Willard, it's Dibs and Grandy with you, and that was a first inning from hell, Dibs. 5 runs for the Braves, only 1 hit against Birdsong. Birdsong went back to the showers, and then the Braves took advantage of those free passes. They get a couple more runs in. Once Birdsong leaves, they score 5. They use that 5-run first to hand the Giants their 6th straight loss. And Dibs, the Giants, despite being like a month ago tied with the Dodgers in the NL West, are now suddenly only 3 games over 500 at 52-49.
Yeah, and Dave actually said it perfectly. He didn't use the exact phrase, but he basically said, say less. Like, that's all you could say about Hayden Birdsong right there, where it was, like you mentioned it, waka, 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 Fozzie Bear, a double, a walk, or hit by pitch, and then another hit, and it's like, okay, that's it. I mean, we tried, you tried, we all tried, and now you not only get taken out, but you get taken down. And, you know, hopefully he can go down there and find out what made him so good in the first place and, you know, find the release point, find the pitch mix, whatever it is. But right now, like, you can't start him. Verlander is still startable? Question mark?
Yeah.
I mean, you can still start Verlander.
You don't feel great, like, tomorrow when he takes the ball for the series finale. You don't feel great, but you're not skipping his spot or moving somebody else in for him.
At 42, and, you know, for, you know, Wisenhunt, it's like, you know, you get to that point where, okay, you have to try to go there, and not Wisenhunt, but you have to try and figure out Birdsong exactly what you're going to do to try to get back to the pitcher we thought you were. And, you know, that's where you think about Logan Webb and Robbie Ray. The pressure on them is inordinate you know, your 3 is still good, but your 4 and your 5 are, it's gas can city.
Yeah, so your 2 studs have to be studs almost every single time out. Otherwise, you're looking at maybe a 1-4 run through the rotation.
Yep, or even 2-3 at best, right?
Which, and that's not going to be good enough, of course, for the Giants to make the postseason if they go 2-3 in every 5-game span. They got to go 3-2. In every 5-game span. So generally, that would, you think, would mean winning both of the Logan Webb and Robbie Ray starts. And, of course, they did not do that their first time through the rotation here in the second half. Remember, Hayden Birdsong began the season out of the bullpen. He made the team. Kyle Harrison did not. Jordan Hicks was a starting pitcher to begin the year, so Birdsong was in the pen. He was great out of the pen. As a starter, though, just as a starter, not as a reliever, as a starter this year, Dibs, 42 1/3 innings, 41 hits, 43 strikeouts, 27 walks, an ERA above 6 as a starter.
27 walks.
27 walks in 42 1/3 innings as a starter.
Right, so 41 hits in 42 1/3, which, that's fine.
Not terrible. I mean, if you keep the walks down, then you can live with that.
But 27 walks in 41 1/3, so his whip, his walks plus hits over innings pitch, has got to be about 1.7 as a starter.
Yeah, what, 68 base runners from walks and hits over 42 1/3 innings? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I mean, at 1.5 or 1.6, not good. And it's the walks that's the issue. I mean, everybody gives up a hit, and if you can keep it in the park, that's fine. But he's been so wild for maybe 3 or 4 straight starts, it's just untenable.
Well, okay, how about 5 starts?
Okay.
His last 5 starts, Hayden Birdsong.
Man.
The Giants are 1-4 in these 5 games, by the way. 17 1/3 innings pitched, 18 hits allowed,
Not bad.
17 strikeouts, also not bad. That's a strikeout an inning and a hit an inning, essentially. Those are not bad numbers. But in those 17 and a third innings, Dibs, 18 walks in an ERA of 10.38.
Wait.
Over five starts.
10.38?
Yes.
That's, yeah.
Untenable.
Well, and I know that yesterday really skewed that where his ERA was infinity. When you get nobody out and you give up runs, your ERA officially for that outing is infinite. So I know that that blows it up, but it's more than just the one outing. It was the four before that as well.
Oh, let's see. I can tell you exactly how much his ERA jumped from the start yesterday. It went from 4.11 to 4.80.
Oh, boy.
For that to happen with one start, one outing at this stage of the season is absolutely ridiculous. We did just get a text that came in on the Boxer and Gerson Rookie Injury Attorneys text line from the 707. Verlander is a guaranteed loss. He is not startable. 707, I hear you, and he has not won a game yet. The Giants have won some games he's pitched, not of late. I will say, though, Dibs, considering the Giants' options, he absolutely is startable. In a perfect world, he would not be, but the Giants don't have any other option to turn to.
Right, unless you want to go full on like, you know, Mason Black and, you know.
Or you want to go back to openers? Do we want that happening again?
We don't. I mean, Sean Jelly, you can go Wisenhunt and bring him up and, you know, take somebody off the 40 man, and you could do something dramatic. And I do think that that's where Buster Posey is heading into the All-Star break, and that's why when you and I talked about it maybe Monday when Verlander was going to start the first game out of the break, I thought, okay, you got three games. Verlander's got three starts, and we'll see what you have. And if it's bad, then maybe you make a move either internally or externally, and you figure out what you want to do. And the same thing, unfortunately, with Hayden Birdsong, where you know you got to that start yesterday, and it was like, all right, Hayden, you had 2 weeks off. Come back. You're fresh. You had a break. You had a week off. Come show us that you are ready to be, you know, Landon Roop light. I mean, Roop has been great. And so awesome. Could you come back, Birdsong, and be close to that? And he not only was not close to that, but he was awful. And he was so bad that you had to take him out after nobody got out. And you had to send him down. So now you're not even into, like, what can we add at the deadline mode? You're in damage control mode.
You're in how the hell do we field a starting pitching staff
right
now?
Right.
I don't know how to do it.
It's like 9-1-1 mode. It's not even like, okay, we've got three. We might have four. We need one more guy. Let's get an arm, and then we're going to be fine. You've got two, and then your three is still unproven, and he's heading into an area where he's going to pitch more than he ever has before.
Uncharted waters.
Your four is 42 years old and can't win, and your five now is on a bus to Sacramento. That's where you are.
It's not good.
And you're a pitching and defense team.
Yes, although not really because...
Well, you should be. That's how you're built, right?
Yes.
Like, the construct is we pitch great, we field great, we're going to win 4-3. Well, not when you give up, and I'm looking at the replay right now, you gave up nine. You gave up a nine spot, and yes, you rallied late, and you got your five runs, whatever you got motorboated in Atlanta.
You had allowed eight runs through four innings.
My God.
And then you gave up another in the sixth. And the one you gave up in the sixth, by the way, technically an earned run. Sorry, Ryan Walker and your ERA, but Jung-Hoo Lee and Elliot Ramos can't decide who's going to catch a lazy fly ball to medium deep left center field. Sorry, Ryan Walker, that earned run goes on your ledger. And you're going to have to deal with that the next time your arbitration comes up and your ERA nice. Is spiked as a result. Bob Melvin, post-game on Birdsong after an outing in which he did not get a single out. Here's Bo Mel.
Look, he was kind of teetering the last time and found a way through it today. He couldn't, unfortunately. So, you know, put us in a little bit of a bind with the pitching, obviously, and how we had to cover this game. But... you know, not ideal, and kind of back to square one with him as far as some of the command issues go.
Not ideal. You don't say, Bob.
Dude, the word teetering, I don't know if you've ever been teetering. Like, for me, teetering is when you walk out of a bar at 1:33 and you should have left at midnight, and your buddy said, let's call a cab, and you said, no, I'm good. I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to have two or three more. And you walk out, and you look, and you're like, I am teetering. Like, I'm teetering on either I'm going to have to go here in the curb and evacuate what I've got going on, or I'm going to get in this Uber and hope that I make it home. That's teetering.
Is that what you think Bob Melvin was going through right there? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that he looked at what he saw on the mound from Birdsong, and he's like, yeah, he's teetering. You mentioned it. Walk, walk, walk. You open up a start coming out of the break off a two-week delay. You had 2 weeks off, and you had all the time to, like, get your mind right, get your mechanics right, get your arm right, and you're coming back, and it's like, okay, this start is big. This start's big for me. And you throw six strikes, and you get nobody out. That is... yeah, teetering.
And
Bob, yeah, Bob said teetering, and then what, an hour or two later, like, he gets sent out? So,
yeah. No, it's not as if these were, like, crazy at-bats, and credit the Braves for working 11-pitch at-bats and fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch. The first at-bat was kind of like that, although Birdsong fell behind 3-0, and then Profar, who leads off for the Braves, like, okay, I'm not swinging. I'm just not going to swing because I don't trust you can throw a strike. Back-to-back fastballs right down the middle, and then a foul ball by Profar, and then ball four. And then four-pitch walk. He just could not find the zone at all, and Lucas behind the glass pointed this out while we were on the air yesterday. When Acuna came up after back-to-back walks, he never took his bat off his shoulder. He had zero intention of ever swinging. He was going to take a strike. And guess what, Dibs? He's still standing there waiting for a strike.
Wow.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. No. You're right, Bob. You are right. And now back to square one with Hayden Birdsong, which is maybe the most disappointing thing of this all, because you had a guy who you were so excited about, and not that you're convinced he's never going to make it at this level, but you had a guy who you were excited that could take a step forward and maybe be your number three this year, and now it's looking like it'll be a positive development if he even makes another big league appearance the rest of the season.
Right. And this is where I think about what Steiny said earlier, and it gutted me, the fact that I agreed with him, but it's not really all in on this year. It's about next year as much as it is this year for me. And that's why when you look at what they did, they traded an insurance policy, two of them really, in the rotation, in Kyle Harrison and Jordan Hicks. And yeah, I know Jordan Hicks had fallen out of favor, and Kyle Harrison had been a little bit up and down, but you traded them knowing that you were kind of putting all your eggs in the Roop and the Birdsong basket, right? And Verlander as well. And you thought, okay, we're going to trade our major league starting pitching depth to get a bat. And you know what? Hopefully, Birdsong can, you know, continue to be good or at least be okay, and Verlander can figure it out. And if worst case they don't, well, now we're in a little bit of a spot because you don't have Harrison and you don't have Hicks, but you do have Devers. Devers has not been great, and you don't have Harrison and Hicks, and Birdsong now has been sent. And Verlander, when he pitches, your team is 4-12 in his starts.
Yikes.
And I mean, he's 0-8. But at least in the 16 starts, you've won four of them, two of them, three of them in extra innings.
And some of those extra innings games, the Giants blew a late lead and therefore blowing the win for Verlander, and then they ultimately won the game. At least once or twice, I think, if memory serves.
Well, I'm looking at it here against Seattle. He went 2 1/3, and you won 10-9 in 11.
Not that one.
Cincinnati, he went 5 2/3. He gave up 5. And you won 8-6 in 10. Against Chicago, he went 5, gave up 3 earned. Not bad. That's the game they scored 9 times in the 11th,
oh,
and they won 14-5.
Right. Yeah.
And then you beat the Athletics 3-2. He went 4 innings. He gave up 2 runs. He walked 5, and you eventually won that game as well. So, I mean, Verlander starts, you're 4-12.
There were some games, maybe I had it backwards, where he was really good. Giants had leads late, and they blew it late and then lost also late instead of winning. Because he had like a couple outings where he went 7 or 6 and gave up a run or two.
The White Sox is the one you're thinking about most recently.
Yep.
He went 6, he gave up 1 earned, and you lost 5-2.
Classic.
So there have been some of those, but you know, by and large, what your team does when you start, I think, is it more indicative of you than your win-loss record. And he's 0-8, but outside of his decision, they're 4-4 in the other games. So it's not like that he's been getting these bad beats.
No, not all the time. There's a couple here and there, but for the most part, he hasn't put the Giants in position to win a lot of games. 888-957-9570, just picking through the disastrous game last night in Atlanta. Giants lose 9-5. They've lost six games in a row. They are continuing to fall down the NL wildcard standings, and while there's still plenty of baseball left, this is the kind of streak that can doom a team's postseason chances. So, what do you think? I mean, who are these Giants at this stage? 888-957-9570. Sam in San Bruno is up next. It's Dibs and Grandy with you, Sam. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. You guys are doing – this is a great show. You know, when I think if we asked the Boston Red Sox front office if they did a great job in trading Rafael Devers to the San Francisco Giants, I think they would say yes. Their offense is thriving. They saved $280 million. And, you know, Devers is 28, 29 years old. He has groin problems, quad, hamstring, hip problems, nerve problems. He's probably going to have back problems now because he's playing through all this stuff. He could very easily tear an Achilles or hurt a knee or hurt a ligament. So, you know, Buster Posey is a GM, as a president of baseball operations. I don't think he did his homework. I think he got the bad end of the deal, because when you look at Devers, if you have him as a DH and he's left-handed, well, then you're at a disadvantage when they throw a left-hander up against you. If he's hitting with guys on, he's an easy double play candidate because he can't run very fast. He can't go from first to third. He can't score on a base hit. So, you know, there's a lot of negatives. And all of a sudden, Buster Posey's having all these great press conferences about how great we're going to be, how good things are and everything. And the people in Boston are laughing their heads off because they're going, you don't know what that's the old Rafael Devers of 2021. This is a different Rafael Devers. And if you look at him, he's retaining a lot of water. So it means he's probably on a lot of, you know, muscle, you know, creatine probably, which that doesn't help the joints and the ligaments as well. His cheeks are puffy. So right now, I think Buster Posey got ripped off, and this is probably, and they're going to be on the hook for him for another 8 years.
Hold on just a minute. Did you call the previous show?
No.
This call is exactly like somebody who called earlier. I swear to God, I heard you earlier. No?
Oh, cool. No.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Thanks, Sam.
I mean, for me anyway, Granny, I didn't mean to cut him off. He was on a roll talking about creatine and puffiness. And he actually gave Devers 11 different injuries that he either has or will have. That to me is unfair. And you got Devers for, is it 7 more years after this? Or 6 more years after this? I do think that we all need to take a little bit of a pause and think about the long term of this contract. And yeah, right now, he's not off to a great start. And just watching yesterday, and you and I were watching in the studio as he tried to go from first to home, and he rounded third. And
that was another weird play. I don't know what the Braves in the outfield were doing, because Devers almost came to a stop at third base, right, and he still got home standing up.
Well, it was one of those weird plays where the left fielder kind of lost it in the, I don't know if it was the roof or the sun or whatever it was, but, you know, Devers was kind of not interested in scoring, and yet, you know, the ball was still free, and so Matt sent him home, and he had to pick up speed again, and by the time he got home, it was like, oh, man, he is laboring, but that doesn't mean that's who he's going to be the whole time.
No, and it's 8 more years after this year for Devers under contract.
So
he signed a 10-year deal with the Red Sox.
Holy Toledo. Yeah,
8 more.
Okay.
So it's going to be ugly at the end of that contract. No one's ever denying that, and the Giants signed up for that when they acquired him in the first place. One, I don't want to just throw out all this stuff about his injuries and the drugs or things that he might be taking. Like, no way to know what any of that is. The simple fact is he has not played good enough yet. And the second that he starts hitting, Dibs, I guarantee a bunch of us are going to start feeling different. It just hasn't happened yet. I think if you're looking for signs, there is reason to believe that he is hitting the ball a little bit better. And despite what we saw when he ran from first all the way to home last night, he is playing first base today. So, I mean, that has to be taken as a positive development. One, he's willing to do it, which he said he was when he got introduced, but it's why he's no longer a Red Sox. And two, I mean, that is physically more demanding than DHing. Like, it can't be a negative thing. Now, we'll see how it turns out. Maybe he struggles defensively at first entirely, and they yank him off of there, and they play Dominic Smith more often. We will see. But, I mean, I can't take Devers playing first base as anything other than, one, maybe a little bit of a desperate move, but two, that he's physically at least good enough to hang out over there and field a couple of balls.
Right, and hang out over there. I love that. That's first base. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the NFL equivalent would be of playing first base. There probably isn't one where you just, you know, kind of hang out. Maybe
something on special teams,
I was thinking about punt returner, where you could just, you know, wave the hand and you catch it and you don't have to run. And, you know, that would be it. Or maybe if you're the holder, you go down there on the knee and you just catch the snap. And then you, you put your little index on the point and, you know, you hope for the best. But I hope he's not just going to, quote, hang out over there, because right now, and I looked at this and I actually texted Guru and he brought it to the air. But for me, it's not about the offense right now. It's about the pitching and the defense. The defense for me is the number one problem. And Elliot Ramos in left is a disaster.
Yeah.
And even you mentioned it, the Jung-Woo Lee, Elliot Ramos ball where it's like, you get it, I'll take it, I'll take it. No, you get it. And it drops and Ramos overthrowing Adames. And, you know, at times Bailey tries to frame too hard and the ball goes by him. Defensively right now, they're a little bit of a mess.
A lot bit of a mess,
yeah,
in my opinion. And we can get into that when we come back. We've got, you know, the highlights and how it sounded on NBC Sports Bay Area. We were treated to a Dave Fleming telecast last night. And, you know, Dave, he's not one to hide his emotions in moments like that. And you will hear it. So we'll hear from Dave how some of those moments sounded. And also, I mean, what was just the most embarrassing part of last night? Because we talked about Birdsong. That was pretty damn embarrassing. Acuna scoring from first on a single, on a normal single, on a ground ball up the middle. How the hell does that happen? Ramos airmailing a throw from 20 feet away. Jung-Woo Lee and Ramos letting a lazy fly ball drop between them. What was the most embarrassing part of last night? Because there's legitimately like five gold medal candidates that we could choose from. And I don't know how the hell we're going to come to a conclusion there. But 888-957-9570. What was the most embarrassing part of last night? You can weigh in. Again, 888-957-9570. Plus, we will hear from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch at 4:15 as they open Niners training camp earlier today down in Santa Clara. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs.